Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker, and we've got a fantastic show planned for you this evening. I just want you to know that we're going to, before I forget, we're doing a prayer walk this Saturday at the Liberty Square Community Center. We're going to be starting here and ending here. And that starts at 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock. We're also going to be raffling off some turkeys. So you want to come out and join us. The address is 6301 Northwest 14th Avenue. That's Miami, Florida. Once again, we're going to be raffling off some turkeys at around 3 o'clock. So come on out. So come on out and join us live at 6301 Northwest 14th Avenue, that is, from 1 to 4 p.m. I promise you, you will be blessed for coming. So please join us at that time. I think you'll be happy that you did. All right, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. We've got a great show planned for you tonight. I hope that you're certainly going to be tuned in with us. The show is, tonight's topic is giving back. Giving back. Oftentimes we don't think about giving back because we think about being who we are. And sometimes being who we are really being selfish individuals. And unfortunately, I don't think that was God's intention for us to be selfish individuals. So listen, I want you to pay attention closely to tonight's topic because we're talking about giving back. And we've got a story that we're going to be leading into, and I want you to be able to hear this. So, but before I do that, I want to go to last week's comments, because some people were asking me about last week's comments, and they wanted to hear some things from that show, but not just last week's comments. They wanted to actually go back to early signs that your relationship may need some counseling. And they asked me if I would go over some of the comments that came in previously, and I want to speak to that. So I want to be able to accommodate people. We're scheduled to also have one of our featured guests on tonight's show, but they have not tuned in as yet. So we'll be waiting for them. But in the meantime, I'm going to go back and review some of those comments that did come in. So I'm going to start with right here, early signs your relationship may need counseling. And then we'll spend about 10 minutes on this, and then we'll switch over to tonight's topic. One of the females that wrote in, she said that, "I watched my parents go through a horrible 30-year marriage before they divorced. My three siblings and I loved both parents, but not once did they consider counseling to help the marriage and our family. My thoughts are, parents, please get some help because you could be destroying your children." And so, and I'm pretty sure that this happens to so many families where the parents don't take into consideration the fact that they may be hurting their children by arguing in front of them, having you know, all of these issues. And what would probably be a good idea, just as the people ask me, Dr. Walker, what's your thoughts on some of the comments that come in? Well, my thought is, if you find that you're having some of the same issues over and repeatedly, I think it becomes vitally important that you find a way to get some help. It may be that you're not realizing what you're doing, that you're contributing to issues of your family members. Not only when a husband and wife, in my opinion, have these arguments, but if you're arguing over the same thing and you, you're not really making any progress or any significant gain with these arguments, then, you know, at some point it starts to chip away at the relationship, in my opinion. And I think that that can be damaging for a relationship. Others may differ with that, but I mean, I think that when it comes to couples, I think that it becomes important that you, because we're different, we're all different as humans, which means we're going to be subject to having issues and challenges one with the other. And I think it makes for better relationships when we can actually have rules of engagement. You know, there are rules. There are even rules of war. Surprisingly, there are rules of war, even though there are probably some people that feel that in war, the war games or in war, why should you have rules? Just make it where there are no rules, but there are rules in war. So I think that when you have a relationship, I think the healthy relationships are those that find ways to have established rules of engagement. You know, where they have it, where they just say, well, you know what, this is what we're going to deal with and how we're going to deal with certain issues when they come forward. And when you establish that, I think that becomes very important, very, very important. So, I mean, if you think about it, just look at yourself. Think about it for a moment with your own relationship. If you're having issues right now in your relationship and you've been going through these same issues over and repeatedly, and then you find yourself just not making any significant gain, because unfortunately in relationships, all parties want to feel that they are right. And, you know, is it really that important to be right? Is it really that important? You know, and usually the first person, it is said that the first person to apologize is usually the person who is right. But is it that, you got to ask yourself, is it that important, you know, is it that important to be right? And so I would say, you know, chances are, does it really matter? It really should not matter. And that's the way that I see it. Anyway, once again, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You know, this is just one. So my synopsis of this would be, if parents, if you're arguing in front of your children, get some help out there. Find a way to get to them. And just don't think about yourself. You know, just don't think about yourself. And when you listen to tonight's story, I think that you'll have a better grip of what I'm really talking about when I say just don't think about yourself. All right, let's move on to the next comment that came in. And again, we'll spend a little time on this, and then we will go to tonight's topic. This male, he says, from, and these are shows from actually 2 weeks ago, my girlfriend and I have been dating for 3 months, and we both have decided to get some counseling to make sure that we are not missing any warning signs before we actually get too deep into the relationship. I truly believe that getting counseling prior to, during, and while you're seeing each other, I think that that becomes vitally important to do, because I think that anything that you can do to help you maintain your relationship, to grow in your relationship, I think becomes very important. I think that that is a very important thing to do when you're talking about being in a relationship. So if you're dating, well, first of all, I would say get some counseling even before you think seriously about getting into a relationship. Get some counseling. And I would say the purpose for you getting that counseling is to determine who you are, is to determine, in fact, who you are. Get the counseling to learn a lot about yourself, your likes, your dislikes, you know, who you are, you know, how you perhaps or maybe behave, you know, when certain challenges face you. I think that that becomes very important because relationships, as I said, tells us a lot about ourselves, teaches us a lot about ourselves. But unfortunately, we don't always learn the lesson when it comes to dealing with relationships. So, you know, that's the thing that we want to be able to look at is this relationship helping me? Is this relationship helping me to grow? Is this relationship helping me to be the best that I can be? Is this relationship the best relationship for me? You know, there are countless questions that I'm sure that, you know, may go on out there. And so you want to be able to actually be the best that you can be. So keep that in mind. Now, you're going to get counseling before you get involved with someone. And then when you do meet someone that you may have a serious interest in, I think that that becomes important that you both get counseling there as well. I think that becomes vitally important that you go and get some counseling because now you want to see how, whether or not you're compatible, whether the chemistry fits. And a lot of times people talk, they fail to recognize the chemistry. You may have some things in common, but you're going to realize that your chemistry, that's the matching thing. It's just like if you're going to go get maybe operated on and they have to check your culture, your blood culture, then and you need blood, they need to ensure that you have the right fit. And that's that chemistry. You know, all of those components need to add up. And if it doesn't, you know, then there's a serious problem. You know, if you get the wrong fit, you get the wrong blood in you, that doesn't match up with yours, then that's going to lead to a serious, serious issue. So, you know, this is no different. This is absolutely no different. You want to really get with someone whose chemistry blends with your chemistry, and that's what you definitely want to do. So, okay, now so we have it where you get counseling before you get involved, to discover who you are, all right? And then you're going to get go from there to getting counseling when you're dating someone, all right? Even in the initial stages, after a month or so, if it seems like you all could be seriously interested in each other, then I think that that is definitely the time to go ahead and get some help, you know, get some get the counseling that you need together to see if there's some compatibility going on in there. And that's what you want to be able to do. Now, next, I would say strongly, when you decide that this is going to be a serious relationship, when you decide that, then I think it becomes vitally important that you both agree to say, you know what, let's take this experience on. Let's go through this process. Let's get this not rushing it, saying let's get it out of the way. You don't want to do it that way. But you say, let's, you know, here's a list of things of how I see myself. And both parties do that. You know, you see yourself, how she sees herself, how you see yourself. And then you say, let's go and talk about these things. Let's see with a neutral party if these things are things that we can actually say, all right, I'm very serious. Well, I don't like that about you. I don't like this about you. And then it can go on from there. All right, so now we have those three areas. Getting help before you get involved, getting help when you think that you might be serious about somebody, getting further help when you do become serious about someone. And then you want to get help as you maintain, as a relationship grows, you want to get some relationship maintenance. And that's where we come in, because I'm able to help couples with what we call relationship maintenance. That's getting some periodic maintenance, just to, like a car. You know, once in a while you need a you need a tune-up, and that's what relationship maintenance is. It's getting you a tune-up, and you know, just keeping everything in check. It's just like it's also when you feel that you're going out there to get this checkup for the car. It's just make sure that everything is running properly, smoothly. You want to make sure that everything is okay, and that's what you're doing. So it's the relationship maintenance. So you've got all of those things that you're doing. And I can assure you, if you do that and you keep your relationship on track, even before the real serious issues come out, and then develop within counseling, get them to support you by helping you to perhaps create, well, you know what, at least steering you in the direction of creating your rules of engagement. Because I think that rules of engagement is something that every couple needs to have. So when those times that you're going to be faced with challenging you, what you want to be able to do is you want to be able to say, well, you know what, I'm going to now, you know, look at things this way and say, I'm gonna get the help that I need. I'm going to be able to do the things that I need to do. I'm going to be able to be this person that I hope. My relationship's going to be fine, because we're always, it's almost like one step or a 12-step, I should say. We're always anticipating growth. We're always trying to improve. We're always doing this. We're always doing that. And so what you want to be able to do is you want to be able to keep up and, you know, just keep things in perspective and keep things going. All right, you're listening live to the Dr. Jason Wilkes Show, and I certainly hope that that comment helps out with what we're talking about tonight. Okay, another comment that came in. My wife and I got counseling and thought it was a waste of time. So what we did was come up with our own measures to improve our relationship. We found that it worked, and we have been happier since we started that some 12 years ago. Hey, whatever it takes, they say. And, you know, you can't be mad at that. You really can't, because I can tell you with certainty that when you come up with your own plans, I think that that is healthier. When you can come up, and this is no different than I see, as rules of engagement, because this couple came up with some rules of engagement. They came out with something and realized that, you know what, this works for us. So when it works for you, what you want to be able to do is you want to keep that going. You really do. You want to keep it going. You want to feel good about it, and you just want it to be where, you know what, I'm good with this, I'm good with that. I want to stay healthy. I like my relationship. I'm happy about it. So I'm gonna keep that going, no matter what comes along, within reason. You know, we know that we have the help that we need right there. All right, let's move on. And we're going to now take a look at another comment that came into the studio. And this one here was from 2 weeks ago. My husband of 7 years and I referenced to tonight to early signs your relationship may need counseling. My husband and I of 7 years get counseling for relationship maintenance, the same thing that you've talked about on your air. This helps us to stay on course with each other. I think every couple should subscribe to it. I heard about it through listening to this show, of course. And that's what I just covered, a great deal of that, that relationship counseling can be a very powerful tool, very powerful tool. I think even the healthiest couples should even continue to stay and subscribe to that. It's like Liberace. I used to listen to his music a lot, and on occasion I will when I have the time. And I discovered that, you know, wow, this guy, Liberace, he's, you know, I'm told that he's always practicing. And so I thought that that was very interesting, that Liberace would practice when he's he's already a musician. Why would he practice? And, you know, because it's a, it becomes a practice. You know, relationships are a, I see it as a practice where, like Liberace, he's never going to reach perfection. And the question becomes, is there such a thing as perfection? And so once you know that you're practicing, you're trying to get there, I mean, there's always something to shoot for, something to improve on. And so just like with relationships, it's a practice. And you need to, you just have to continue at it. It's never going to be a perfect thing. It's never going to be that. And so what you do is you make the best of it, what you can with what you have, but you get the help that you need. So in answering these questions, you know, I think that that couple, that particular couple is on course with what it is that they're doing. All right, now another comment that came in, my husband of 7 years, well, we read that one. I want to speak to the one about they thought it was a waste of time. So what we did was we came up with our measures to improve. That's relationship maintenance that I talked about. So these last two basically fit within the same one. Finally, the last comment on this one before we go to tonight's show. A female says, I personally think that everyone sees the signs. They simply are blinded because they have made up their minds to be with that person. Unfortunately, that is not the best way to do things for a healthy relationship. I'm just saying. So, I mean, I think that there's a lot of validity to that. I do think it's true. When people basically have already made up their minds, I mean, it's almost like there's no change in their minds. No matter, they can see 100 warning signs, but once they cross that line of this is what they want, and it takes perhaps a while before they realize that the pain of that, when it starts to mess up and starts to hurt, that the pain is no longer as pleasurable as a pleasure. And so that's the thing. So now we've covered, we've covered those comments that have come in. We're going to read tonight's story. We welcome your comments. Some of you all have already started sending in your comments. We're going to read tonight's story, and then we're going to go on to address the comments that have come in. All right, you're listening live to the Dr. Just Walk Show, 347-857-1769. Of course, if you want to speak to the host, you can press 1. We'll entertain one or two callers for the evening. Tonight's character is Samantha. Now, Samantha happens to be a woman in her late 20s who has never been married, and she has no children. She has completed college with a master's degree and has an executive position at one of the retail stores. She has a couple of girlfriends. Samantha is attractive. She lives in a luxurious apartment, drives a fine car, and has a substantial savings account. She's not involved in a relationship, and the truth of the matter is she has no time or interest in getting involved anytime soon. She has no interest in getting involved anytime soon. She has a couple of girlfriends that she hangs out with on occasion, but recently they have been spending more time with their significant others, which is now starting to cause Samantha to actually feel a bit lonely. And she's also wondering if she should take on some of the offers that she has been receiving. Little does anyone know, Samantha is an only child who grew up with selfish parents who basically taught her to only look out for yourself and don't worry about other people. Instead, let them find their own fate in life, they would often tell her. As she grew up, she witnessed this with her parents, who, after 17 years, divorced and had difficulty. Okay, I want you to really get this part now. She witnessed this selfishness with her parents, who, after 17 years, divorced and had difficulty with other relationships they encountered. It recently dawned on Samantha that she was now living a selfish life, like that of her miserable parents, and she did not want that any longer. As such, she became proactive and started giving back to the communities that were less fortunate than she was by selecting a specific project and a selective community to begin giving back to that community, and she placed her emphasis on the young girls in the community. Now, Samantha has been doing this project for the past 6 months, and she is really enjoying it. Surprisingly, she recently met a young man who was also working a select project for the males in the community as his giving back, which has drawn the two of them together. How interesting. How interesting. She met somebody doing the same thing that she is doing for the girls, opposite genders. They've been going out for now for the past 8 months, and it looks like things are serious enough that an engagement is in order. It has finally dawned on Samantha that her decision to give back has brought her more happiness than she thought she had prior to this project, and in doing so, love has found her. She now encourages everyone to find a way to give back to the community or someone who may be in need of something, because in assisting with their need will often help in discovering yourself. I think that that is so important. When you can go out there and help somebody else with their need, I too believe that by assisting them, you will discover yourself. The question is, though, is this realistic that an only child can change like that for the better? Now, I've known of only child. As a matter of fact, I had a relative that was an only child, and he was quite selfish. I mean, he's deceased now, but he was a tool to be reckoned with, extraordinarily selfish. Now, I want to talk just for a moment, if I can. I want to talk about Samantha's parents. You know, married for 17 years, taught her to only look out for number one. Well, guess what? Their relationship didn't even last. You know, the imperfection there, it didn't last. 17 years, yes, of course, is a long time. But they were teaching her, in my opinion here, they were teaching their daughter the wrong thing. They were teaching her to be selfish. You know, to teaching their daughter to be selfish. And so, I mean, if that's what you're going to teach your child, they're going to grow up selfish just like those parents. And then she comes to discover that, you know, her parents got it wrong. Her parents actually got it wrong. And when she realized this, she turned around and things worked out better for her. And in the process, this young lady, Samantha, love found her. And it made all the difference in the world. So, you know, there's a couple of things that to me comes from this. And one of those is that some parents can get it wrong too. Parents can definitely get it wrong sometimes. So if you're thinking that those of you all that are listening that are even adults, which you have to be an adult to listen to the program, if you're thinking that your parents have all the right answers, you know what? And they're not sharing with you that, hey, listen, you know what? I may have it wrong. I may get it wrong once in a while. But what I'm trying to do, my overall goal is to keep it where you're not getting yourself in trouble. You know, trying to keep you in trouble, trying to keep you to follow the straight and narrow way. And so that's what you want. That's what you want to be able to do. You know, you want to be, well, we may have lost our call. Okay, no, we didn't. Okay, we're back. Okay, that's what you want to be able to do. You want to make sure that you are realize that your parents, you know, hey, they can get it wrong. Parents can actually get it wrong. And sometimes in listening to their advice, because times do change. And sometimes when you're listening to that advice, you know, it may not be fitting for some of the current time. Now, advice on staying out of trouble, I would say that's highly effective and should be considered for even current times. So you might want to keep that in mind for sure. You definitely want to keep that in mind. So let's take some of the comments. We're going to look at some of the comments that have come into the studio just simply based on that alone. But first, let me go here to the phone lines and let's get a comment or two from the phone line. We're going to go to 786-439. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air live. 786, 39. Yes, you're on the air live. Who do we have on the air?
Hey, what's up? It's Cowboy.
Oh, Cowboy. Thank you for joining us. Cowboy, yeah. Just give us a synopsis, would you, and just let us know your thoughts on what it means to you to give back. When you hear the phrase giving back or to give back, what does that mean to you? If anything.
Well, when I hear the phrase give back, well, I think of multiple things. I think of family, and I think of the needy, and I think of myself, you know. For one, what I see family is that obviously without my family, I wouldn't be able to do a lot of things I do now. They give me the motivation. They push me to do stuff I love. They don't push me to do stuff they want me to do, but they push me to do stuff I love. So at the end of the day, when I do make it to where I feel like I am, you know, I'm there and I achieve my goal, I give back to them by, you know, thanking them, you know, buying stuff for them, you know, treating them like the royal people they are, you know. And when I think of for the homeless, you know, I've been giving back to the homeless because, you know, not a lot of people have things they want on this earth. Like, you'll see a few clips on my page. If you ever check out my page of me, like, helping the homeless out. And, like, you know, there's people in the comments saying, oh, you're just doing this for social media. But, like, with this generation, it's hard to give back without getting negative feedback, you know. But, yeah, that's my way of giving back, you know.
Okay, do you think that a lot of people, like in tonight's story, we talked about Samantha, who grew up with parents who were selfish and told her she should only look out for herself. What's wrong with that? Is there anything wrong with looking out for yourself, in your opinion?
Yes and no. For one, my personal experience is that, you know, I care too much. You know, I used to care a lot. I used to literally put people before me. That's how I was raised. And my mom, she taught me, you know, like, give people, you know, like, I feel like, yes, her parents was wrong for raising her that way. Because you never know, she might have opportunities she always wanted, and she lost it by not giving back, like not giving to somebody, you know. This is a hard argument because it is so much to back it. It's so much to say because this new generation is just messed up, you know. Being too nice is known as being weak, you know. Caring for yourself, people would call you selfish. So there's like, you have to balance it, really. You got to care for yourself, but also, you know, care for others, but not care too much, you know. It's heavy. I don't know if that answered your question, but yeah.
Well, I think it's a response. Let me ask you this question. If you're just, it's giving back, I heard you say the homeless, how does that make you feel when you do give back to anyone that's maybe less fortunate?
Bro, it makes me, man, I feel like Jesus curing somebody from the leprosy or something like that. It's just a excitement. It's like a drug. It's like you just want to give more, you know? It's like you give to somebody and the smile on people's faces, man. It's just, like I gave to this one homeless dude, and he shared with his homeless friends. So I was like, wow, that is beautiful, you know, because, like, there's a lot behind the story of homeless people. You know, people say, oh, they'll do drugs with it, they'll do this. But, no, there's way more to their story, you know. But, yeah, man, I'm still looking forward to raising my own business on helping the homeless, man.
And what are you doing
back to
towards that? What are you doing to get there? What are your steps you're taking to do that?
Well, I'm raising awareness. Currently, I'm raising. I even started a GoFundMe account for helping the homeless. But I'm raising that awareness for, like, the homeless. I took this one homeless dude to the movies, you know. Instead of just giving them food just one time, you know, I bought him food. I bought him clothes, and I took him to the movies before. You know, it's just like I'm raising awareness that it's okay to make friends with homeless people because people are so intimidated by them. And, you know, people are just selfish when it comes to homeless people, very selfish. So, yeah, I'm raising awareness.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what is your organization going to be called?
Well said. I'm gonna change it, but I came up with Cowboys Help. Cowboys Help. That's it. That's all I have so far. But you know, it's not official. Cowboys Help.
All right. So when do you plan to? When is your projected time to get this on?
When I go back. When I start college, actually, and learn more about businessing.
All right. All right, let's take a look at some of the comments. And if you have a comment, if you'd like to comment on any of them, we'll take that on. And let's look at, let's go here and find the comments that are coming in. All right, here we are. Giving back. Female writes in, she says, I'm a strong believer in giving back to the community. Because I think that we are all our brother's keepers. I think that is a very important way to look back. She's a strong believer in giving back. And I certainly agree with that we are all our brother's keepers. And I think that we should be looking out for our neighbors, people out there who are not maybe doing as well as we're doing, and if we can help. But let me ask you, Cowboy, when you come across people who they just seem to always want you to be a giver, and they just want to be a receiver and not a giver, and they find that they don't appreciate it. Like even with your homeless people, you may want to serve them a turkey sandwich, and they say, well, I don't eat turkey. I don't want no turkey sandwich. And they give you that attitude, I want a ham sandwich. I mean, I don't know if you've ever experienced that. I certainly have. And
I have.
How have experienced that?
Yes.
Okay. And yeah. What was your approach to that? How did you handle that situation, if at all?
Well, situations like that is just like it's shocking because you know you'd expect them to appreciate it, but you know I handled it perfectly. You know, I took the sandwich and I gave it to another homeless dude and I bought him what he wanted. You know, but I also spoke to him. I was like, hey, man, you shouldn't really, like, be picky on somebody who's giving you, you know? But it kind of did break my heart, you know, because, like, I was like, whoa, I'm sorry. You don't know these things. But they also don't know these things because they've been through stuff in their past life, and you don't want to, like, you know, trigger anything. So you got to handle it perfectly. You got to handle it, you know, humbly and not attack back. The key word is not to attack back, you know, just go with the flow and just, but yeah, it broke my heart. It did, but it's a learning experience.
Right. Okay. I can certainly understand and appreciate that. And that's, so here it is. I mean, for me, I can speak for me and I'd say, I'm sort of the person who I look at people and maybe I can help you one way. You know, if I have some food and, you know, if I have a few options there, but if this is all I have. And my mother often said that if a person is hungry enough, they'll almost eat anything that's, you know, edible. But the fact of the matter is, and I think I hear you saying, and I'm paraphrasing, you know, beggars shouldn't be choosy. But the fact of the matter is, if I come out and I'm doing a consistent program on feeding the homeless, now I want to see what the homeless are doing, an individual, if I'm coming out there every week, I want to see what are you doing, what steps are you doing or are you taking to try and help yourself. That's what I want to be able to know. What steps are you taking to help yourself? And not just have me give you fish all the time, but you know, what steps are you taking to catch your own fish? How do you feel about that, especially living in a country where you have options? I mean, if you were living in a country that there were no options or the options were minimal, then that's a different situation. How do you feel about that, Cowboy?
I agree. Yes. I don't feel like I'm taking – I feel like I'm taking baby steps and, like, you know, it's frustrating. Like I said in the previous show that you had, I'm the only boy. I live with
three sisters and one mom, and, like, you know, I get attacked by every last one of them when I'm doing something they don't agree with. So, like, I'm under the roof, the same roof under that what they're under. So I feel like I'm taking baby steps because of them. And but soon I'm going to be getting out there, you know, pursuing mm-hmm. what I really believe in.
That's interesting that you identify yourself as taking baby steps with them. It reminds me of a gentleman, actually reminds me of myself, that at 17, I thought I was taking baby steps, you know, because I felt that my mother had me so attached to her umbilical cord. And I realized that, you know what, if I'm going to grow, I need to really respectfully and lovingly cut the umbilical cord. At 17, graduating from high school, and I wanted to take my first plane ride. So I saved up the money, and my mother really, I know mothers are always looking out for your safety and security, but I told her this was, now I feel that I've finished school, I've accomplished something, and I want to reward myself, and I want to take this plane ride to the Bahamas, Bimini, Bahamas, and she just gave me her blessings, and I went, and I think that one flight has caused me to travel, I mean, all over now, and while my mother was alive, I would often just call her from some place I've landed and say, "Mom, I'm here, and, you know, I'm in Central America, I'm in, you know, different places, parts of the place." And I tell you, that experience in cutting the umbilical cord, cowboy, you're taking baby steps, but when I cut that umbilical cord at 17, I felt like I had gone through my rites of passage. And, you know, that African proverb of going through the rites of passage that made me feel like, you know what, this is a large, huge world, and it's an exciting world, and I'm just ready for it. And I learned that my mother, in her wisdom, my mother had never been on a plane before. She had never flown before. And so, you know, she had that she just felt that maybe it wasn't safe. I mean, and I respected that, but I was in a different era, and I didn't have those same phobias. You know, and I wanted that experience. And, I wanted that experience. Let me just take this apart, and I'll bring you back in. And let me tell you, I have, you know, I've been blessed to be successful with credentials. But I'm going to tell you, the greatest education that I have really gotten was my traveling experience. Traveling the world has given me a greater experience of education. And that's what I did for my children. I traveled with them, and I paid for them to travel, and I encouraged them to travel and to get from up underneath my nest or their mother's nest and let them go and figure it out for themselves, and today they're all successful. Go ahead, Cowboy. Let's bring you back in.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that. Your story is kind of going to be the same story I'm going to have tomorrow. I'm going... You know, I'm coming back to Miami at 7 o'clock in the morning tomorrow, but I'm going by myself on a Greyhound, you know, and my mom is kind of like, you know, she's iffy about it, but, you know, she finally let it go. She was like, okay, be safe. Don't be out the streets too late. But, you know, a mom is going to be a mom, you know?
Right.
So I thank God he gave her, you know, my trust, that I can go out there and be my own adult, you know, because I need the learning experience to travel by myself and, like, you know, be an adult. So, like, yeah, I feel like that's kind of like a umbilical cord cut for me, you know.
Okay, well, I'm proud of you. How old are you?
I'm 20.
Okay, I did it at 17, and I remember when I lived in London, I met young people, young Americans that were traveling to London, and they ranged between ages of 16 and 19, the ones that I had met over there, 16 to 19. And the 16-year-olds were traveling alone. They were traveling alone in London, and that's on the other side of the world. And I would often ask them, I'm on a train, and I say, well, where are your parents? Well, my parents sent me over here to figure it out for myself. I say, how interesting. When I was in Spain, Madrid, Spain, the same thing. You see these young people, young Americans, and I would often ask them, well, where are your parents? I mean, we're on like a train, or we're usually on a train. And they're by themselves, even girls are by themselves, young ladies. And as they say, well, my parents told me, you know, this is how you discover the world, is you travel, you know, and if you can make it out there by yourself, you know, and you know, then it sort of takes you through a rites of passage to test yourself to see, you know, you got to depend on you. There's no one, when you look left, there's no parent to say, hey, mom, hey, dad. I need something to eat. You look right, same thing. You look north, south. It's all dependent on you. Hey, where am I going to stay? And I mean, these young people, and they somehow or another, they do it. And some of them would say, well, my parents send me to different countries every year for me to figure it out. And I recall reading Richard Branson. Richard Branson is a billionaire. He's the owner of, I used to fly on the plane that he owns, that airline, British Virgin Atlantic Airlines. That's where I used to travel with going to London. And I recalled his story, him and his sister. His parents put them out in some country, and they told him to find their way, figure it out. And he did so, and then he became one of the wealthy guys in the world, figuring it out. You know, my philosophy is, if someone's got to constantly give it to you all the time, if someone's got to constantly do it for you all the time, if someone has to constantly check on you all the time, you're not really growing. You're not growing. Back. You're not reaching your full potential. So, Cowboy, I mean, I commend you. Now, times have changed. Times have changed, but you just exercise wisdom. You know, and I just want to share this thought, and then I'm going to bring you back in for a moment. You know, I mean, I think you're wise enough to know what areas to perhaps stay out of. I go to all kind of countries, and I know, here's my rule. I'm going to get up early in the morning and go out at sunlight, you know, when it's bright out, okay? And then I have a rule of thumb that I'm going to be back in when I'm in a foreign country that I don't know anything about. I'm going to be in at least 2 hours before the sun sets, which means, you know, that's my safety net. So if I'm out there, let's say if the sun sets at 6 o'clock and I'm in Spain, then I know that if it sets at six and it's the darkness starts to fall, then I'm probably going to be in my area, you know, about 4 o'clock, and I'm starting to head back around 2 o'clock. And whatever I need to do is going to be between 10 and 2, unless I'm with the group. And with that group, we're going to be on the same page where we're starting to head back where there's safety. So, I mean, you're wise enough to not get in the car with strangers. I mean, you're an adult. You're an adult. And it's, you know, that's how I saw myself at 17. And as a matter of fact, I want to say this part and then bring you in. I sent my daughter to London. My youngest daughter, I sent her to London at 14. Yes, 14. However, she went with an older friend of mine, you know, lady friend of mine, but she got lost in London. She got lost. She was left on the train in London. And you know, the party that she was with left her by accident on the train, but she figured it out all on the other side of the world at 14, and she made it. And you know, her brother, who's a year under her, 13 and 14, I sent them to I flew them by way of Delta Airlines to Virginia. but I failed to realize that they had a connecting flight outside of Atlanta. They're only 14 and 13. But they figured it out that they had a connecting flight. Atlanta is one of the largest airports in the U.S. So they had to figure out they had to take the shuttle at the airport to get to their airline, and they figured all of this out at 13 and 14. And I had no cell phones to call them on. They had no cell phones to contact me. Like, Dad, what do we do? They figured it out. They figured it out. So, Cowboy, tell me. Talk to me. Are you going to figure it out?
I'm going to figure it, man. You inspired me. Every chance I get to go on a show with you, man, you say something new every day that I'm going to try, man. Like, it's just like everything, it relates. It's scary. It just relates to what I'm going through, you know? But it's, yeah, what you said about Richard Branson, yeah, I read about him too before. He started the business at 16, right?
Yep, he sure did.
He's 16.
Sure did.
But it's, I think that, for a magazine called Student or something like that. Same thing that you said about him is same with Michael. Jackie Chan.
Oh yeah, Jackie Chan, the movie act, the star.
Yeah, he's been through. You know, his parents didn't do anything for him. His parents threw him out there and say, "You go out there and you survive." You know,
right?
And he did it.
Right.
Look, he's one of the richest, wealthiest people out there now.
Right.
And in an interview, he said he's going to do the same to his kids, the same thing his parents did to him. He's not going to give them money. He's going to let them survive by themselves.
Well,
like, yeah,
even
I
my
agree with you.
Even my own kids, and I have four, and you know, I let them. A large part of their lives have been, you figure it out for yourself. Don't ask me. You figure it out for yourself. And when you got a problem, you come to me with a solution. With your A, B, C, D, E plan. You know, come to me with solutions. And they were doing this since they were in pretty much second grade. First and second grade. You know, you figure it out. I'm not giving you the answers. You figure it out. I may on occasion tell you if you got the right answer. You know, oftentimes, you know, if it's a mathematical problem, if it's something. But in life, when it comes to living life experience, you got to figure the answer out for yourself. When you're able to start learning to make decisions at an early age in life, you will make grand decisions as you get older throughout life. And that's what's happened to all of my children. They don't come to me, Dad, listen, what do you think about? They come to me with solutions, viable solutions, that this is what, you know, I'm facing this challenge, but here's what I'm planning to do to deal with that situation. And they give me the A, B, C, D plan. And they're saying this. They're not coming to ask me. They're coming to tell me. And I love it. I really do. So, Cowboy, I mean, I'm excited for you. I'm excited for you. If 16-year-old girls can travel the world and in their mindset know that, okay, I'm not going to get involved with strangers. I'm not getting into any crazy cars. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. Then, you know, as a man, and I mean, even with my race, I'm cognizant at, you know, of where I go and what I do. I do my research. I do my major research on where areas are safe. I check if I'm going out of country. I check with the American Embassy to find out what the threat is for Americans going outside the country to the certain countries. And, you know, I'm always doing that research. Map out my areas where I'm going to go. I got lost in Spain. I got lost in Spain, but guess what? I was so excited when I got lost. Now, how crazy is that? I was so excited, and because I went to Spain to practice my Spanish. And so I figured, okay, I'm within my time frame of being in Spain. You know, I'm wailing the hours between 10 and 2. So when I got off the train, I took the wrong train somehow and got lost. And so I started speaking Spanish to people, and, you know, I was feeling good because I say at the end of the day, I mean, I probably could have jumped into a cab and found my way and just, because I had the address written down, you know, and I had gotten it translated in Spanish. So the address of where I was living at the apartment. But I didn't want to do it that way. I wanted to figure it out because I knew it was more exciting if you figure it out by asking people in Spanish. And lo and behold, surprisingly, as I'm looking over these boards and asking people, an American comes up to me and she says, "Are you lost?" And I say, "You speak English?" She says, "Yes, I'm from America." And I was kind of happy, but at the same time kind of sad. Why do you think that's the case? Why was I happy and sad at the same time?
Dr. Walker, man, I'm catching a bus tomorrow for the first time. I don't want to get lost, okay? You're talking about getting lost. I pray to God I don't get lost. Yeah, it's my first time.
Uh-huh.
My first time. I'm like, wow, I got to catch a bus tomorrow. He's talking about getting lost. I'm like, God, man.
But you're taking a bus from where are you coming from and where are you going? You say you're coming to Florida, Miami, right?
I'm coming from Orlando. I'm going to Miami.
That's 4 hours away. I mean, like, you can't get lost. You're still in the United States of America. I got lost in Spain. And
oh, God.
I didn't know anybody. I was in Spain alone, didn't know anyone. And an American comes up to me, and she starts speaking English. And I'm like, "You speak English?" She spoke English and Spanish. And she directed me on what train I need to get on. I was happy because, okay, here's somebody that came up, and I was looking for information. I was saddened because, kind of disappointed, I shouldn't say saddened, disappointed because I wanted to figure it out. It was too easy with her sharing the information. But I'll tell you this, cowboy, you believe in God. God will always send somebody. He will always, trust me when I say it, and I say it with all caps, He will always send somebody to help you out. You're taking a bus ride at 20 years old. You ought to go beat. You need to let your mama beat you. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but you're a grown man. You're more than a grown man now. But listen, you got a cell phone. All you need to do, if you get lost anywhere, you're one of your friends out, there's Uber, there's Lyft.
Yeah,
have you ever used Uber or Lyft?
Yeah, I know how to Uber or Lyft, but man, it sucks, man. I've been babied by my mom for so long, man. So I'm kind of growing up with the mentality of like, man, she keep babying me, man. I don't even know if I can do this. God.
Oh wow. Listen, you know what you need. You get with one of these girls out here, yay. I'm telling you, she'll grow you up real fast. You get with one of these girls out here that's daring, she will grow you up real fast. I'm telling you, even an older lady, you know, like 25, you know, you're 20, she will grow you up real fast. She'll cut that umbilical cord from you, from your mom. You know, just don't mess around and get no babies out there, right? I'm telling you, I mean, you got Uber, you got Lyft, you got people that you can make a phone call to. You know, just, hey, listen, you need to just stay tuned for myself.
Yeah, but it's different, yeah. You said Spain, I was like, yeah, that's a whole different country. That's wild.
Yeah, I was in London. I was in Central America. I mean, it's like, you know, yeah. Is it scary? Yes, it's scary out there. But you know what? It's also scary. Listen, you stay up under your mom, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way. You stay up under your mama's wings, and listen, you gonna have a hard time. Some young lady that comes along is like, "Oh no, they don't want mama boys." They don't want mama boys. I was a mama's boy, and I had to cut that umbilical cord. Ladies don't want no mama's boy. And I mean, I'm not disrespecting your mom, but I'm just saying, you know.
I understand what you're saying 100%. My sister say the same thing.
Wow. You know what? How long are you going to be in Miami?
I'm going to be in Miami for how long as I want, because it's not a round trip.
Well, listen, you need to come and visit my and take this prayer walk with me in the hood. You're going to be protected because we got police officers. Now, I'm telling you, we got police officers protecting us all over the place throughout the whole march. If you get there, you find me, and then wherever you're going to your destination, wherever you're staying, I'll drop you off there. but you just get there. It's in the hood.
What is this?
It's Saturday at 1 o'clock. From 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock.
That's perfect.
I will be
that's
there
perfect.
About 12:15.
Yeah, because the reason I'm going down into Miami is because I'm booked for modeling. You know, I work with this modeling company, and they want me to come in. So it's on Saturday.
Okay.
No, it's not on Saturday. It's on Sunday. So, yeah, Saturday
okay.
I can make it. I can make
all
it
right.
on Saturday.
Well, you know what? Does this modeling company ask you to pay them some money?
Oh, no, no, no. I've been working with them for about 3 years now.
Oh, okay, okay.
They pay me.
All right.
Yeah, they pay me.
Oh, good. Okay, all right. Just don't go traveling with them right now. That
yeah.
I don't do. Yeah, just gonna travel. They got something. Research human trafficking. You know, you don't want to get. You know, you just not getting in cars and going places with people that you don't know. But if you join me at that march, I'll see that you get back to the place where you're staying. It's gonna be an exciting march. I think you'll like it. All right. Listen, we're out of time. I appreciate the conversation with you. And we're clearly out of time. And I look forward to you being in Miami, Florida, just 4 hours away from Orlando, less than that. And you're going to have a great time, man. You know, I can't wait to hear you on the air again. And you're saying, listen, I'm going to this place now. I'm going to that place. Because once you start and you come from up under your mama's wings, listen, you are going to be so excited. You're going to feel like I'm living now. Wow. Hey, Mom, I still love you.
Yeah.
Listen, yeah, we're out of time. I'll be talking to you over the weekend. We're out of time. Listen, join us here tomorrow night, 7 o'clock live, for the Your Half Hour Inspirational Programming. Of course, we choose bypass tomorrow night's programming. Join us back here live next Thursday for the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. Until tomorrow or until next Thursday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. That's a wrap. Good night, everybody.